glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 24. One of our favorite pastimes, worshipping Govardhan, him. Text number 17. 18 and 19. Well, I thought we did... 18, excuse me. But 18 has a big purport, why 19 also? Anyway, all right. Excuse me, text number 18, all right. That was the one I studied, okay. Tasmat sampujayet karma svabhava sta svakarmakrit anjasa yena vartita tad evasya hi daivatam tasmat sampujayet karma svabhavasta svakarmakrit anjasa yena varteta tadevasya hidaivatam tasmat sampujayet karma svabhavasta svakarmakrit anjasa yena varteta tadevasya hidaivatam tasmat sampujayet karma svabhavasta svakarmakrit anjasa yena varteta tadevasya hidaivatam.
Ladies?
Tasmat. Therefore. Sampujayet. One should fully worship. Karma. His prescribed activity. Swabhava. In the position. Corresponding to his. Own conditioned nature. Sta. Remaining. Svakarma. His own prescribed duty. Krit. Performing. Anjasa. Without difficulty. Yena. By which. Vartita. One lives. Tat. That. Eva. Certainly. Asya. His. He. Indeed. Daivatam. Worshipable deity. Translation. Therefore, one should seriously worship work itself. A person should remain in the position corresponding to his nature and should perform his own duty. Indeed, that by which we may live nicely is really our worshipable deity. Translation, please repeat. Therefore, one should seriously worship work itself. A person should remain in the position corresponding to his nature and should perform his own duty. Indeed, by that by which we may live nicely is really our worshipable deity. Purport. Lord Krishna here proposes the modern, if absurd, philosophy that our work or occupation is really God, and that we should therefore simply worship our work. Upon close scrutiny, we observe that our work is nothing more than the interaction of the material body with the material nature, as Lord Krishna himself states in a more serious mood in the Bhagavad Gita, Guna guneshu vartanta. Karma mimamsa philosophy accepts that good activity in this life will give us a better next life. If this is true, there must be some type of conscious soul different from the body. And if that is the case, why should a transcendental soul worship the interaction of the temporary body with material nature? If the word sampujayet karma here mean that one should worship the laws of karma governing our activities, then one may astutely ask, what does it mean to worship laws? And indeed, what might be the origin of such laws and who is maintaining them? To say that the laws have created or are maintaining the world is a meaningless proposition. There's nothing about the nature of a law that indicates it could generate the existential situation it's supposed to govern. In fact, worship is meant for Krishna himself, and this real conclusion will be clearly revealed in this chapter. Tasmat sampujaye karma svabhavastha sukarma kut anjasa yena varteta tari vasya hidayavatam. Therefore, one should seriously worship work itself. A person should remain in the position corresponding to his nature and should perform his own duty. Indeed, that by which he may live nicely is really our worshipable deity. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Ganangana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militandena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparandigam Aradhanaschanandantai Vridamyache Puna Puna Simar Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktarin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, with my eyes closed shut. My spiritual master has opened my eyes. with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here we find a very amusing situation. As Tamahar pointed out yesterday, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is preaching atheism. He's God and he's preaching atheism. This is very amusing. And here he's presenting very, you may think it's strange philosophy, but Pundarik Prabhu can confirm almost every school in India, you walk in the door, there's a big sign, worship, work, worship, duty is deity, and live life like lotus. Work is worship, duty is deity, live life like lotus. They have some slogan like this in almost at least every religious type of school in India. So they're taught to become asses, because if work is worship, then there's no better worshiper than the ass. He's doing his duty very nicely, carrying heavy loads for somebody else, as we discussed previously. So the ass is the best worshiper. So here he's telling us we should work is worship. You just worship your karma. But Prabhupada very intelligently asks the question that according to their philosophy, if we do work nicely, then we'll get nice results. We'll get nice results in our next life. So that means we have to take another body. That means that we're a spirit soul. This implies that we must be something different from the body. And Prabhupada said, what is the work? Work is just the interaction of the modes of nature and the material body. So Prabhupada very intelligently asked the question, why should a spiritual soul worship these material activities? And then he quotes a nice verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 28, and there Prabhupada, very poetic, his purport. Tatvavittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matva nasajjate. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty arm, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work and devotion and work for fruitive results. Exactly the same thing. But Prabhupada, in his purport, he's very poetic. He says, the knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. We're in a very awkward position. We're a spirit soul, but we're stuck inside this material body in this material world. He knows that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and that his position should not be in the material creation. He knows his real identity is part and parcel of the Supreme, whose eternal bliss and knowledge. And he realized that somehow or other he's entrapped in this material conception of life. In his pure state of existence, he is meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He therefore engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and becomes naturally unattached to the activities of material senses, which are all circumstantial and temporary. He knows that his material condition of life is under the supreme control of the Lord. Consequently, he is not disturbed by all kinds of material reactions, which he considers to be the mercy of the Lord. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one who knows the absolute truth in three different features, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality Godhead, is called Tattvavit, for he knows also his own factual position in relation with the Supreme. So we're in this awkward position of being a spirit soul and having a material body and being surrounded by nothing but material energy. But this whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us the process how to live in this world but not be part of this world. We've got these senses, And they're engaged in, naturally engaged in sense gratification. But same senses we can use for the service of Krishna, to serve Krishna's senses. Prabhupada explains, Krishna is known as Govinda, one who gives pleasure to the senses. But the trick is not to please our senses directly, but to please the senses of Govinda. Therefore, this awkward position can be rectified by very simple activities of pure devotional service. The same material senses, but we're engaging them in Krishna's service. Just like we just heard the whole announcement, who dressed who bathed who did what. So every day we're dressing this material body. This is our daily activity. But we get the opportunity, same senses, same cloth, same everything, but we dress the transcendental body of the Lord. You can listen on any radio, so many songs are there. We come here, we sing beautiful songs glorifying Krishna. Everybody likes to hear so many stories. Did you hear the latest news? I saw it on the internet. But we get to hear the latest news from the spiritual sky right here every day. Some of you are thinking that we weren't so fortunate to be able to get Srila Prabhupada's association. Like many of the devotees here, we had Prabhupada's personal association. But some of you are thinking that we didn't get Prabhupada's association like you. But actually, that association is available to everyone. Even right now, Prabhupada told that these purports, because the ones we're reading now, I was corrected, these are by the disciples of Prabhupada, but guided by Prabhupada. But Prabhupada said his purports were his personal ecstasies. Now, can you imagine any more intimate association with Prabhupada than that? And that was not available to anyone. If you were big GBC or sannyasi or whatever, everybody was out of the room when Prabhupada was doing his translation and dictating his purports. Nobody got that association. But till today, you can open up any one of Prabhupada's books and you're associating most intimately. Can you imagine personal ecstasies? Any more intimate association with Prabhupada than that? You can still get the most intimate. It wasn't available to big sannyasis or GBCs or anybody. But it's available to everybody just by cracking open one of Prabhupada's books. So we can read the news of the spiritual world. We can use our mind and intelligence to try to understand this philosophy. It's like here it is said that if one does good work, he'll get good results. But we see in our own life that's not true. We have practical experience that sometimes Prabhupada gives the example that the best hospitals are there, the best doctors are there, still patient dies. So if the philosophy that you do good work, the best hospital, best doctor, best medicine, and still patient dies, why? There's something beyond, because Prabhupada here is saying, the purport says that you can take some pujaya karma to mean worshipping the laws of karma. How do we go about worshipping a law? And what is the process for worshipping a law, one might ask, as is asked here. And in fact, as soon as we say law, we know there's a lawmaker. If you're saying to worship the laws of karma, then why not worship the person who made the laws? That is more intelligent proposal as being astutely, as they say here, offered. That there must be a lawmaker. As soon as we talk about law, then there must be a lawmaker. So, and in fact, as is pointed out, that our position is Jivera Swarupoi Nityara Krishnera Nitya Das. We are this eternal servant of Krishna. So our position is very awkward, but even in this awkward position, by engaging our senses, we can sing for Krishna, we can dance for Krishna, we can cook for Krishna, we can make flower garlands like the girls are doing here. This activity is totally spiritual. It's not a material activity. They're sitting here in New Raman Reti making flower garlands, and one day they'll be in the Golok Raman Reti making garlands for Krishna. Same activity. Even now in the Goloka Raman Reti, they're making garlands for Krishna. Same activity is going on. It's totally spiritual activity. One may be manifested here, one may be manifested there, but activity completely spiritual. This is very practical. Because we're stuck with this body and senses. So Prabhupada always used the example, this is making best use of bad bargain. Somehow we got a bad bargain, we got this body. And we never fully understood the import of that when we were young. Now that we're a little older, we're understanding the import of that we got a very bad bargain. And you're all laughing, but your time will come. Don't think that life will just go on and on and on blissfully. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, even in our old age, we're very blissful because our bliss is not dependent, as pointed out here. We're not dependent on the body, but we're dependent on the pleasure coming from the soul. And the same line about being awkward, this is also used by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He describes that since everything around us is material, we're in a very awkward position to worship the Lord. So the Lord appears to us. As soon as I read this beautiful purport this morning, Srila Prabhupada, about awkward position, I immediately Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's a very awkward position. Because most people have no idea of God. He's just a white light, or he's an old man sitting on a throne, sending everybody to hell. But here we have beautiful concept of God. Not concept, this is reality. The scriptures and the great sages are revealing. And if we make the form of the Lord according to the authorized scriptures, then Krishna, he agrees to appear inside that form. Everybody else has great difficulty trying to control their senses because they have no idea how to dovetail their senses in the service of Krishna. But we have this beautiful, and here we have the most beautiful deities, Varnitai with their arms raised so sweetly, and Radhasham Sundar with their beautiful smiles, and Krishna Balaram so ecstatically beautiful. So we can, though apparently it is material, it is made of stone or brass, but Krishna agrees to become present within that form. Otherwise, Bhaktivinoda says, we're in an awkward position. So we're so fortunate that the Lord, he agrees to appear before us in the form of the deity. We can decorate the deity, we can dress the deity, we can put jewelry on the deity, we can make the temple room very beautiful. We're all busy making our houses very beautiful. Here we can make the Lord's house very beautiful. We can make arrangements, beautiful flower arrangements for the Lord. Like this is such a special mercy of the Lord that he agrees to take this archa avatar. It's called archa avatar. This is authorized by the scriptures. It's not that you can just make any form. Just like certain scriptures say, there should be no graven images. So Prabhupada says, image means imagination. But Lord's form is not imagination. So it's true, you should not have graven images. But if we have the form, actual form of the Lord, we know from the scripture. Your scripture may not know, just like in the little college dictionary, pocket dictionary, there's so many definitions of a word. But we go inside the library, there's big dictionary like this, we find so many definitions not inside the little dictionary. So Vedas is the big dictionary, giving all information. What is Krishna's name, form, pastimes, who's his girlfriend, what's his telephone number, email address, everything is there. He has special email address. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.com. This is a special email address of Krishna. So here it's quite amusing that Krishna himself is speaking this atheistic philosophy, workers' worship. If it was, we said, the donkey is the best worshiper. He's doing his work very nicely. But we want to give up this ass-like mentality and come to the platform of engaging our senses in the service of Krishna. So we know in this pastime, eventually, Krishna brings around the subject to the fact that actually this Govardhan hill is producing so much water and grass to make our cows very fat and give lots of milk. We should worship Govardhan hill. And He emphatically declares this to Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj, of course, says, all right, we'll do, after we do the Indra Puja, we'll do another. He says, it took so much time to get all this ghee and grains together, you should do it now. You can't wait. Anyway, anyhow, he convinces Nanda, because Nanda Maharaj is completely captivated by his Nanda Lala, his Lula Lala, so he's completely captivated. And then Krishna gives the instruction, you have to make puris, fried in ghee, and rasgullas made with milk, and gulab jamuns fried in ghee, all things used from, all things made with products of the cow, and mountains and mountains of rice with ghee on top, and sweet rice, and halava, and samosas, and pakoras. Krishna gives big long list. And in fact, after he gives that big long list, he said, anybody who doesn't do this puja of Govardhan Hill, according as I have described it, then there's many snakes on Govardhan Hill, and you'll be bitten by those snakes. Hmm? So I've heard here in this South Florida, there's so, or I guess we're mid-Florida, anybody still, anyway, around this area, so many poisonous snakes are there. So you better carefully do Govardhan, I'm sure you're doing carefully Govardhan Puja, so you won't be bitten by those snakes. So Krishna told them, all right, you do this very nicely, and the snakes won't. We one time, we were doing Prikrama, and all the Brijbasi boys were yelling at us on the side of the hill. And they were waving their hands to come over. We come over, and a big black cobra was running along the side of the hill. And as soon as he saw all the devotees, I guess everybody in the party had done nice Govardhan Puja. He immediately went inside a hole in the ground and disappeared. But he was big. He was about 10 foot long, black, big black cobra. And he just looked up. He didn't even put his fan. He just, it was fun. He just looked at all the devotees and so then there's a special village on the side of Govardhan Hill where they did the first Anukut ceremony. Anna, we know, means grain, and kut means, do you know? Just like there's a special place called Chitrakut, and there's the Trikuta mountain range. Kut means mountain. Anukut, mountains of grains. So this is called Anukut. So they made mountains and mountains of rice with ghee and butter melting on top. They made mountains and mountains of baskets of puris, mountains and mountains of pots of rasgullas, and mountains and mountains of sandesh and burfi, mountains and mountains of pots of gulab jamuns, and mountains of baskets of pakoras, and baskets of samosas, and baskets of kachoris. Hmm? Lakes filled with sweet rice and nectar, huge feast they offered on the side of Govardhan Hill. Suddenly, Jiva Goswami and Ananda Vrindavan Champu is Kavi Karnapur. They have given wonderful descriptions of this pastime. That they offer this huge mountain, suddenly a huge form of Krishna appeared on top of the hill. And Krishna immediately, he said, just see how Govardhan Hill has appeared personally to accept your offerings. Huh? Did your Indra ever appear for you? You did this so many years, you did Indra Puja, Indra ever came personally? But just see, Govardhan has accepted this form. Then Govardhan Hill made like an asan, and that big Krishna sat down in the asan, and the little Krishna at the bottom of the hill paid his obeisance along with Baldao. And all the Brijbasis, they paid their obeisance to that big form. And he was just like a little boy, his eyes got big, seeing all these mountains and mountains of boga there. And he began to eat everything. And since he's a little boy, he doesn't know difference between right hand and left hand. He began to eat with right hand and left hand. Hmm? He began to eat with both hands. In fact, eventually he manifested hundreds of right hands, hundreds of left hands, and within a few minutes, bloop, 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 everything was finished. He drank up all those lakes of nectar and sweet rice. And then, in true Brijbasi fashion, he began to call, Anior, Anior, give me more, give me more. So Yadya the Charity Shreya Stas, whatever the great man does, the common men will follow. So today, to this day, they're still following this. As soon as you give somebody 10 rupees, he said, give 100. You give 100, he wants 5. You give 5, he wants 1,000. Yadyata Charitisri. Whatever the great man does to come, and they're still following their leader. So he began to cry, Anior, Anior, give me more, give me more. And the cowherd men were astounded. They had their entire stock of ghee and grains and vegetables had been cooked up and offered, and there was nothing left. They couldn't believe it. And they prayed before they all folded their hands and said, please be satisfied. Our entire stock we've offered to you, please be satisfied. Anior, Anior, give me more, give me more. But please, then Nanda Baba came and he said, but Maharaj, everything we had, we offered you, please be satisfied. Anior, Anior, give me more, give me more. Then even Krishna himself, he shrugged his shoulders, but there's nothing left. We offered everything. There's nothing more to offer. You please be satisfied. Anior, Anior, give me more, give me more. So then a bunch of Brahmins appeared on the scene, and they had a whole bunch of very fresh tulsi manjaris. As I have seen in Vrindavan, 90% of the time they never offer tulsi leaf for the boga. They always take, just like Raghunath Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das, you take the manjari, two little leaves and the little manjari. Only in that season when there's no manjaris, you see them use tulsi leaves. Oh, they use the manjaris for making boga. So they brought all these soft, fresh tulsi manjaris and put them in Krishna's hand. And Krishna offered it to that big Krishna on top of the hill. He took all of those manjaris and popped them in his mouth. And he said, Triptosmi, Triptosmi, now I'm fully satisfied. Maybe on the tape sometime you've heard Prabhupada say, now I'm fully satisfied, I don't want anything. Especially he's talking about Dhruva Maharaj pastime, brothers. Now I'm fully satisfied. Then you can understand what is full satisfaction. So triptosmi, now I'm fully satisfied. And as soon as he was fully satisfied, then all of a sudden, all of those mountains and mountains of rice and mountains of baskets of pakoras and mount sandesh and burfi and gulab jamuns, rasgulas, pots of paneer sabji, everything, lakes of sri rice, everything remanifested itself before the Brijbhasiya. They were astounded. So in this way they performed the first Anukut ceremony. So then, after that big form of Krishna disappeared, then the Brijbhasis sat down, they had a feast, they distributed to everyone. Prabhupada said, even to the chandalas, even to the dogs. And Prabhupada in Krishna book, he says, even they threw the prasadam, even it fell on the ground, just to show that prasadam can never be contaminated. People joyfully picked it off the ground and ate it. And then keeping the cows in front, they all went around Govardhan Hill, performing Prakrama of Govardhan Hill. So today, many people still, thousands of people doing Govardhan Prakrama. Bolo Sri Giriraj Maharaj ki, Giriraj Dharna ki. Shall I go on? So then, naturally Indra, he found out that they had stopped the Indra Puja and worshipped Govardhan Hill instead by the instigation of Krishna. So he became very angry. He said this, and he began to try to insult Krishna, but by grace of Goddess Saraswati, all his insults became praise. He said, they're listening to this talkative fellow, Krishna. But if we see the Sanskrit from another angle, it can mean that whatever he speaks will always be spoken. Just like 5,000 years ago, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And still to this day, especially there's one verse in second chapter, every Gurukul boy knows, even if he's sound asleep, he whispered in his ear, What is that verse in second chapter? Denosmin yatare komaram jovanam jara tatra dehanta praptir dira tatra namuyate. 5,000 years ago, Krishna spoke this. We're still speaking it today. He's the lowest of mankind. But if we see the Sanskrit from another side, it can mean that everybody goes lower before him. There was one insult more, but I can't remember just now. In this way, all his insults became, oh, nobody even knows what caste he is. But if we see it, the Sanskrit from another angle, it means he's above all the castes. Krishna is above all the castes. He's completely transcendental to all the modes of nature. So this way, whatever insult Indra tried to give, it became praise. So then he sent the Sambardika cloud, go there and what? Destroy Braj along with all the Vrishvasis and their cows. Just imagine that apparat. We do apparat sometimes. Hey, you stupid nonsense. But he wanted to destroy Braj and all the Vrishvasis and all the cows. What type of apparat was that? So then he told the Sambardika cloud to go there, and he began to pour down incessant volumes of rain. And suddenly the whole sky became black. Even in midday it became dark. And cold wind began to blow, and suddenly rain was coming, and pieces of ice were falling, and described pillars of rain. We say cats and dogs, but Srimad Bhagavatam says pillars of rain were coming. And suddenly nobody could tell what was highland, what was lowland. Everyone became very frightened. And when the Vrishvasis are in trouble, they only know one thing. They only know one person. They all ran to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Krishna with the great arms. Please save us. Because Krishna wanted to show that there's no need of worshipping the demigods. That even if the demigod becomes angry, Krishna will save you. So Krishna, he saw the Vrishvasis were in great distress. So he went over, and with his left hand, he lifted Govardhan Hill. Now, if we have to do some hard work, we will use our right hand, but Krishna used his left hand, just to show it was no work. And Sanada Goswami says he lifted it with his left hand, not his little finger, he lifted it with his left hand. And he invited all the Vrishvasis, now you come with all your cows under the hill. And they came under the hill, and most amazingly, all our ISKCON pictures show just dirt under the hill. But Ananda Vrindavan Champu and Gopal Champu describes that there was beautiful gardens, manicured gardens with fruit and flower trees and ponds and beautiful little gazebos, little things like you have here. Beautiful, whole other place was there, a whole transcendental place was there under the hill. The Vrishvasis were all astounded and they came under and they were all very comfortable. Now this was a very special leela that Krishna manifests just to show mercy on the Vrishvasis. Because now for 7 days and 7 nights everyone got to see the moon-like face of Krishna. Otherwise nobody gets to see Krishna all the time. In the morning his close friends and Nanda Baba and Yasoda, they see Krishna. Then he goes through the village and everybody sees him as he goes through the village. All the girls run to the roof to see Krishna. Then he's in the cowherd fields with the cowherd boys all day. They see Krishna. Then he comes back to the village, everybody sees him, and he goes inside the house, only his close friends and Mother Yasoda and Nanda Baba. Then at night he sneaks out, he's with the gopis all night long, but nobody's with him all the time. Though everybody wanted to be with Krishna all the time. So Krishna manifested this so all the Vrishvasis could be with him all the time, 24 by 7. They were with Krishna, seeing his moon-like face. And they didn't feel hungry, they didn't feel tired, they didn't feel thirsty, they didn't feel nervous, they were completely satisfied seeing Krishna's beautiful face. But Madhya Yasoda became a little anxious seeing Krishna lifted the hill, because Sanatana Goswami in his tika he describes Krishna lifted with his left hand. But when Madhya Yasoda looked worried, then he transferred to his little pinky, just to assure Madhya Yasoda it's no problem. Just like when we're learning to ride our bike, our mother's washing dishes in the kitchen, watching from the window, And we go, look, Ma, no hands, eh? So Krishna, he put it on his little finger, look, Ma, it's no problem. And Madhumangal chirped up, he said, actually, I'm chanting my Brahminical mantras by my Brahman Tejas. Govardhan is staying there on top of his finger, there's nothing to worry about. It's by my Brahminical power. Because it's by Govardhan's own mercy. If he wants, he'll fly around and do a loop-de-loop if he wants. He's just staying there by his own sweet will, nothing to worry him again. After some time, Mother Yasoda, she became worried. She was massaging Krishna's arm because he must be getting tired. And she said, oh, Lala, you want some butter or something, Lala? He said, no, Mom, it's no problem. Mother Mungo said, wait a minute, you speak for yourself. Bring that butter here. And all the coward boys, they put their sticks to help Krishna. Like this for 7 days and seven nights, they were seeing the moon-like face of Krishna. Just imagine, sitting here in front of Krishna and Balaram for 27 days and seven nights, seeing their Balaram with such a beautiful moon-like face. So then Indra appeared on the scene, and he saw what was going on. He went, oops. So he told that Sambardika cloud, make yourself scarce, get out of here quick. Then he went back to his Indraloka, very worried. Meanwhile, Brijbasi suddenly saw the rain stop, the sun came out. Then Krishna, when he saw that the rain had stopped, he told them, now you can go with all your cows outside. They went outside. And they saw that everything was very nice. And it was dry and it wasn't at all flooded. And Krishna then put the hill back down in its place. And now he became known as the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Olo Giridhari Ki! And everyone was praising him for lifting the Govardhan Hill. So meanwhile, Indra, he went back. He was very worried. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep. He didn't talk. He didn't go see Mother Sachi. So Mother Sachi became very worried, because there's nothing that makes the woman more worried is when the man stops talking. There's nothing that disturbs the woman, the man, more than when the woman doesn't stop talking. But nothing disturbs the woman more than the man stops talking. So she thought, he's in a bad mood, I better not go there. So she told Brihaspati, you go see what's wrong. Because Brihaspati is the guru. So Brihaspati came, he said, what happened? And then he told, he said, oh my goodness, you really blew it. Now Krishna won't even look at you from the corner of the corner of the corner of his eye. Your only hope is to take shelter of a devotee. And best devotee to take shelter is this Surabhi from the Golok. Because she's not only a devotee, she's a cow. And Krishna, he likes cows and Vaishnavas. We know, go Brahmana Hitayacha. So then Indra, he took Surabhi and he came there to Govardhan. Meanwhile, Krishna was there with all his cowherd boys and the cows, and they were walking around because he was doing inspection tour. Again, yad yad acharati shrestha, because the great man does, the common men will follow. So as soon as there's a tsunami or earthquake or some big disaster, then the chief minister or the governor of the state, he flies in, the president, he flies in on his helicopter to do inspection tour, so they're all following Krishna's lead. Krishna was also doing inspection tour. Of course, nothing was wrong, because actually his Sudarshan Chakra had spun on top of the hill and kept all the water from coming there. And many other arrangements were there. So nothing was damaged, but Krishna was doing inspection tour. And suddenly Indra appeared. Now Indra's elephant, Airavata, not only has one trunk, he has many trunks. And he's enormous. And all the cows, they saw this elephant. A cow, her ear is generally like this. All their ears went bzzup. And cow, her eye is already very big. But then, her eye became even bigger. And then, you ever seen cows run? You're lucky, you live here in Ramanreti, you've probably seen cows run. Huh? They put their tail in the sky and they kick backwards. They put the tail in the sky, danger, danger, danger. So all the cows, thousands, thousand cows, they all put their tails in the sky and kicking backward, they all ran away, and all the coward boys ran after them. Meanwhile, Indra got down off his, he paid his, the king of heaven paid his obeisances in the dust of Braj. And Krishna walked by and didn't even look at him from the corner of 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 his eye. Then he knew he's in big trouble. Then he went to Survi. He said, quick, you got to do something. I'm in big trouble now. So Survi went there to another place on the side of the hill. There's a very beautiful place just opposite Govindakund on the opposite side called Survikund. And there Survi said, actually, Indra, he's your devotee. He got a little puffed up. You don't like pride in your devotees. But just like the children, they do so much nonsense things, but the parents still love them. So he's actually your devotee. Now he's sorry. You should forgive him, just like the parents forgive the children. He's your little child, like that. So many arguments he gave. So then Krishna agreed to forgive Indra. So this is our position. We're great offenders. But if we take shelter of a great devotee like Srila Prabhupada, he can intercede on our behalf. Just like we see all of Prabhupada's letters. What does he write at the end? I'm always praying to Krishna that you young boys and girls advance in Krishna consciousness. So this is the trick. We have to take shelter of a devotee. Pure devotee like Prabhupada. So then they came over to the other side of the hill, and then Airavata brought water from the Akash Ganga, not that Ganga on this material world, on this earthly plane, but the Akash Ganga. And he began to pour that water on Krishna, and Surabhi, just from her udder, began to pour milk. And then all the demigods came, and all the Gandharvas came and began to sing, and the Kinnaras were playing beautiful musical instruments, and all the Apsaras were trained up by Indraduna Maharaj. They were dancing very beautifully. And beautiful Abhishek was performed. Then afterwards they dressed Krishna nicely, and then Krishna took, then Indra took a crown and he crowned Krishna as Govind. To this day, he had been known as Gopal. From this day he became known as Govind. And Jiva Goswami explains that just like you all know the word Narendra, huh? In fact there's a shop in the end of Loy Bazaar run by Gangotri, run by Narendra. Nar, human being, Indra. The Indra amongst the human beings means the king. As just as Indra is the king of all the demigods, the Indra amongst human beings means the king. Yogendra, the greatest of the yogis, the Indra amongst the yogis. Like that, Mahendra, you all know these words. So Govind. Krishna became the king of the cows. What is the hidden meaning? That all the 33 crore demigods, including Indra, they live within the body of the cow. So if Krishna becomes king of the cow, he becomes king of Indra and all the demigods automatically. So therefore he crowned him as Govinda, and then with beautiful artik paraphernalia made of gold, we just have brass, they had gold artik paraphernalia with rubies and pearls and diamonds and emeralds and sapphires and all beautiful conch shells and covered with gold and silver and rubies and diamonds and incredible artik, and they were singing Purusha Sukta prayer completely with perfect rhyme and meter, Sahasra Sirsa Purusha, like that. And Krishna was just enjoying like anything. Or he was going like this anyway. Then they all made their paid their obeisances and left. Meanwhile, the cowherd boys came back. They saw all the paraphernalia, all this opulent paraphernalia. So they picked it all up and they began to play like doing artik. But Brijbazis are not at all like Bengalis. Bengalis have very sweet voices. But Brijbazis, if you've ever been in Vrindavan during this season now, this rainy season, Shravan, all the Ras Lila groups are doing their Ras Lilas. They cannot keep a tune. They're not Bengalis at all. You all night long, you will hear these off-tune singing going on. So they picked up all this opulent paraphernalia and they began to sing, and they weren't even singing Vedic mantras, just their reread Brijbasi songs. And they weren't even singing in proper rhyme and meter, not even on the tune. Aroti kunja bihari ki si giridari Krishna murari ki. Like that. And Krishna was just laughing and laughing, enjoying that. And all the demigods looked down and said, we don't even have a pinch of love like Krishna, for Krishna like these Brijvasis. We don't have a pinch. Then Nanda Maharaj and all the older Brijvasis appeared on the scene because they heard something gold and silver and ruby and diamond and pearl going on. Nanda Baba, and they're all thinking, first he's stealing butter, now what is he up to? So they all appeared on the scene. And all the cowherd boys looked up at their elders are there. And Nanda Baba said, where you got all this gold and silver and ruby and diamond and pearl? We just found it. Yeah, right, you just found it. Then Madhu Mangal piped up. He said, Baba, they don't know. I know, Baba, I saw everything. Because Baba, what happened? This elephant came, Baba. Huge elephant. I never saw an elephant like that, Baba. Not with one trunk, many trunks. And all the cows just took one look and ran away, and they all ran. But I'm lame, so I was sitting here in the bushes. I saw everything, Baba. They didn't see. Crossed my heart, hope to die. I saw it. My Sajbol room, my Jutnebol room, Baba. I saw everything. And this guy got off the elephant. I'm not telling a lie, Baba. This guy had eyes all over his whole body. And he fell in the ground in front of Lala. And Lala didn't even look at him, Baba. He didn't even look at this big guy with eyes all over it. Didn't even look at him. Then, Baba, this cow came. I never saw a cow like this, Baba. Whoa, Baba, that cow began to speak, Baba. And then Krishna came in to that guy, and he offered so many prayers. Then that elephant went off in the sky somewhere, came back with this wonderful water, began to bathe Krishna, and cow also began to bathe Krishna. Then Baba, crossed my heart, hope to die. This guy came with four heads, Baba, four heads. Then this guy came, Baba, I'm not telling a lie, this guy had five heads, Baba, with a big snake around his neck. Then Baba, all these beautiful people began to appear. These guys were singing so wonderfully, Baba. Really singing nicely. And other guys came and they were playing these instruments. Then these girls came, Baba. Whoa, Baba, I never saw girls like that, Baba. And they were all dancing very nicely. And then they did this artik ceremony and then they all left, Baba. And then they left. And they left it all here. And the boys just came and they found it. It's true, Baba. I crossed my heart. I'm not telling a lie. Then just then a voice from the sky said, Baba, now you crown Krishna as Govinda. And Nanda Maharaj picked up that same crown, he put it on Krishna, and he became known as Govinda. And that place where all the Abhishek water collected became known as Govinda Kund. And Bhakti Ratnakar says, anybody who takes that water on his head, he gets Govinda Prem. Bolo Sikhi Raj Maharaj Ki. I assume there's no questions, but maybe there's some questions. We should stop. We're going over time. Yes?
If, with the words in the purport, modern is okay, but then absurd, describing this philosophy as absurd. Maybe it's a little exaggerated. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that by acting according to your nature, then that's worship of the Lord in 1846. And he, in two or three verses, Krishna seems to be really praising this idea of work, of doing your own work.
But that's in relation to Krishna. If you're doing your work, but even still in Bhagavatam uses even heavier words. It says, Dharma Svanustita Pumza, Visvaksena Katasya, Not Pariye Kataruchi, Shrama eva hi kevalam. Now these are all heavy Sanskrit words. These are shrama. Shrama means work. Useless work. Shrama eva. Eva is very heavy. Certainly. He. Indeed. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Only useless work. Unless not padayet. As long as not padayet. No. Na. Utpad means to develop. Unless you develop ruchi for hearing about Krishna's pastimes, then all of it is useless labor and nothing else. Krishna used very heavy words. Shrama eva hi kevalam. So, but in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about one who's Krishna conscious. So if he follows his nature, Krishna consciously, then that's another thing. But the philosophy that Krishna is saying here, just to worship, work is worship, duty is deity, live life like lotus, this is another thing.
Just very brief comment that this idea of you also mentioning worship, the laws, as if the laws need a lawmaker. So it's interesting that the same idea of worshiping the laws is done by the modern so-called scientists. They want everything to be law-like, and they don't question how the laws themselves came into being, and they don't want to accept there's anything miraculous or any divine into everything is just following laws of nature. But they don't also, in one sense, they're also just worshiping the laws because
yes,
they don't
exactly. See it. Thank you very much. Wonderful observation. Yes.
So you are describing how Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, and at that time I think he was only about 7 years old.
Mm.
So which I'm assuming that he was just a little short compared to the other taller people. So how is it that he had a hill over the heads of everyone else?
He must have expanded himself. Krishna's unlimited. Either he expanded himself or he made everyone small. Depending on how you want to see it.
The picture in Vrindavan on the wall there, it shows he's standing up on a little mound or something.
Yeah, like I said, we just show dirt, but Ananda Vrindavan Champu and Gopal Champu describe whole parks and gardens. And Krishna's unlimited, he can do anything, so. In the Balav Sampradaya, there's a place where there's a cave, and they say that's where Krishna went underneath the earth to pick up the hill. That they have this theory that Krishna had to go underneath the earth to pick up the hill. Anyway, we're over time, and alarm is going off. It says no more questions, and we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's engaged in the service of the lawmaker. Srila Prabhupada ki.